So in this section of our liturgical year, we're going through these letters from St. Paul. And today we begin this new one, the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. One of the letters that he wrote when he was under house arrest in Rome towards the end of his life. And he's writing to this church in Colossae. It's one of the few communities that he did not found himself, but he had heard about them. So he was writing them to encourage them, to love them, to show his support, that he and Timothy were so impressed by the reports of the faith that he wanted to write to them. And it's always good as we look at these letters from St. Paul, like, see, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, like how he identifies himself, one as sent by the will of God. And Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones, we could say to the saints, and to the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. These holy ones, these ones who've been set apart for Jesus, and they're being faithful to their call. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father. The church in Colossae was a mix of Greek and Jews. So grace would have been a common Greek greeting, and shalom, or peace, would have been the common Jewish greeting. So just in that first sentence, he's saying so much about the people that to whom he's writing and about himself. Always referring to himself as apostle, one who is sent. In order to be sent, the person sending must be alive. Dead people don't send other people. So just in that first greeting, he's attesting to the fact that Jesus Christ is alive. And it's the man that Paul met on that road to Damascus, and he received his mission. But he goes on to say, we always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And he prays for them. And when they pray for them, they give thanks. What a great inspiration for us. When we hear about the Lord moving in the lives of people around the world or down the street, we should be giving praise and thanksgiving for them. When we see the good works that our parents or our children are doing or our relatives, we offer prayers and thanksgiving. Why? Because we have heard of your faith and the love and the hope, these three theological virtues that we are received, that are imputed to us or given to us during our baptism, these attributes of God, faith, hope, and love, the ability to believe, the framework for believing, the ability to give of myself for the good of the other, and the confident assurance of the promises of Jesus, the faith, the hope, and the love that they have. Of this we have already heard. You have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. So as these new people are hearing this word of God, the gospel being preached, they're hearing about the love and the faith and the hope that we are required, that's expected of us as disciples. And just as in the whole world is bearing fruit and growing, so it is also among you. These encouraging words, saying that I've heard the good work that's being done among you, that you're being fruitful, that you're multiplying. That's what he says. You're bearing fruit and growing. That original commandment of God in the garden to Adam and Eve, to be fruitful and multiply. And now that same seed, or that new seed of life, is being planted and becoming fruitful as that word of truth is being heard and received and acted upon. This beautiful greeting, salutation of St. Paul to this church, letting them know that he prays for them. To be men and women of prayer should be a central component of our identity, because it makes us like Jesus. One of the many things that we can do to be like Jesus is to pray. That's what we had in the gospel. That when he woke up early in the morning, he went to a deserted place. And the other gospel passages tell us that he went there to pray. So God, Jesus is God. And prayer was a necessary, integral part of his life. So this might help to elevate or change our idea of what prayer is. We're simply just begging God to give us what we want or to fix the problems in our life. It's just this establishing and this forming of this relationship between the Father and the Son that we are brought into through our baptism, that we have the privilege of joining Jesus in his prayer to the Father. And we can see, maybe not exactly directly, but after that moment of prayer, he was confident in his mission. He wasn't swayed by the public opinion who wanted him to stick around and to do more good works. When we enter into that prayer, when we assume a greater part of our identity as a member of Jesus' body, then we too can be more confident of our mission. And while it might be more comfortable and convenient to stay where we are and to continue to do the good things that we're doing, perhaps Jesus is calling us to move on to the other towns. "For this purpose was I sent," he said. He was confident at what the Father was asking of him. When we dedicate that time to pray every day, and we can be like Jesus and wake up early and do it, then we grow in our identity as a member of his body, and we grow in confidence in his mission for our life. Maybe every step by step is not plotted out on a course for us, but as we move through the day, we can be confident that the Lord is with us, calling us, sending us, just like he did Paul, like he's done so many other holy men and women, saints, throughout the ages. As over these next few days, as we continue to hear from this beautiful letter to the Colossians, if you need some help praying, if you don't know what to do, then open your Bible and read this letter. It's only 4 short chapters. You could take 1 chapter a day, and that's 4 days of prayer for you right there. As you get to know the mind and heart of St. Paul, who was a devoted apostle, a slave of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful letter to a community that was on fire for Jesus. If we devote our life to prayer and love and service of others, if we hold on to the hope of the promises given to us, then we too, our community also, can be one on fire, on love, with faith and in hope.